teaching by David Ebal is titled, Is God for Sale?
Would you pray with me now about the lesson? Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask for eyes that see and ears that hear. We ask that you'll change us from what we are to what we ought to be, that this lesson will be life and light to each one of us, and though it's a difficult lesson, we believe that every person here will grasp the meaning that we're trying to get to. We pray that nobody here will judge the words I say on the basis of the way it comes out, but they'll judge on what we're trying to say. That every person will make an effort to hear what's the spirit of what we're trying to get across and not judge us by our mistakes or the areas where we mess up. We pray, Lord, that this will be a real benefit to decision makers in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've started out tonight about TMI and that kind of thing. And how many of you would like to believe that God has sent a prophet to Harrisburg who's going to tell us when to leave? Wouldn't that be neat? If we knew for sure, we could just live our lives right out and be, you know, so everything's so neat and clean. And yet, on the right day, at the right time, God's prophet would just speak the word and we'd know for sure. Wouldn't that be neat to know for sure? And then get out of that kind of thing. But how many have wondered about, instead of getting out of Harrisburg, how many have wondered about getting out of the bank? When it's time to get your money out of the bank. Listen, I was very concerned. A man called me from Washington Friday noon. He's a stockbroker in one of the big places in Washington, D.C. And the president was going to be on television that night. And I forget, it had to do with money. We knew that. And a rumor was going around that he was going to freeze all the accounts. Around Washington. Now, that might surprise you, but he can do that any minute. Your money that's in the bank, all he has to do is sign a piece of paper, and then you can't have it. It doesn't belong to anybody anymore except the bank, in a sense, you know. But those are his emergency powers, so we were wondering about that. So maybe you might want to know how to get out of that. Well, that's what this lesson's about today, as to when to make your move. Whether to run, whether to stay, whether to buy, whether to sell. Wouldn't it be neat if we just knew all those answers? How many of you, like I, believe that there is a perfect will of God for your life? All right? And that there are some answers, and that the Lord wants to reveal His will to you about those things. Well, the first thing is the title. And that's the title, Thy Money Perish With Thee. Where do we get a title like that? Well, it's over in Acts. Somebody turn to Acts. Chapter 8. Well, let's all turn to it a minute. We'll do a little in there. This, do you remember Simon, the sorcerer? All right, this is Peter, I believe. And he's having a little discourse with Simon. And there was some confusion about it. Now, this is the same Peter who, a few chapters before, probably about chapter 3 or 4, you remember Ananias and Sapphira? And they had a big flap about the money then. And he said to her, Peter said to her, or no, it was to him first, wasn't it? Did you agree? And is this what you sold it for? Yeah. And, well, now, we didn't tell you had to bring all the money, but now that you're lying to us about it, remember the story? That was it. And so this is, and, you know, I noticed, it says, great fear came among the people, fell upon the people. Boy, that'd make me scared too. You know, here's the church leaders, and you feel like every time the church leader is looking at you, he can tell what you're thinking or telling a lie or anything like that, you know. Have you ever been in a church that was like that? Have you ever been in a church where the leader tried to make you think he could? Well, that would cause great fear, especially if two people fell over dead. I'm in Acts 8 now. I'll go to verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered the money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. All right, that's really the underlining. That's the whole theme of what we're going to try to get to today. Have you ever been in a healing service where it seemed as though the people with the $20 bills were given favored position in the line? How many have seen that? You know what I'm talking about. All right, have you been in a situation where... I remember one time I was listening to some businessmen talk about the blessing of God, and they finally got me talked into joining the 300 Club. I don't know whether that means anything to you or not, but this was a deal where you pledge so much money a month. And somehow I got the idea, and I believe some of them actually said it, but it was certainly implied, that as long as I would give this money to God, then God would make sure that I had a job and that we all had food, and the kids wore shoes that didn't have holes in them, unless they wanted holes in them. And what I'm trying to say is that somehow along the line, whether it's actually taught or implied, we sometimes get the idea that the blessings of God can be purchased. Come on now. And there's a lot of that that's going on in the fundamental, in the charismatic, in the full gospel. All of these societies are implying, and some actually teaching, that do you remember getting a letter about 10 years ago from a certain famous evangelist that if you would just send him $20 that and your wallet, he would pray over your wallet and send it back to you? Empty. Yes, it was empty when it came back. I guess I better tell this story. I was down in Philadelphia, and when we went down there to a big five-pole tent, there was a certain evangelist who's departed from us now, and it's not so important to get his name out, but he talked to those people, and I'll never forget that. He got up and he took the microphone and he started crying in the microphone. And I'll tell you, it is very emotional when somebody blows their nose in the microphone. He took the handkerchief and kind of covered his nose in the microphone and everything all at once. Oh, it was wonderful. Well, anyway. And then he had this vision and he told the people, oh, this is horrible, the carnage, this is awful. All the things that I see are terrible. I see this car and it's leaving the parking lot from our meeting tonight, our tent meeting tonight. The car's going out onto the road. And you know the people, because I was sitting with some of them that some of you remember or know from Africa. And they'll tell you the same story, that they heard it with their own ears. And he said, oh, this vision is horrible. There's a car coming, and they're just entering the interstate, and the car hits one and hits the other, and there's carnage and people and bodies and broken parts of bodies all over the street. Oh, you know, he went into great detail, like only evangelists can do. But he had us all, you know, really upset. And then he said, and the Lord has just shown me that those who will put $20 in the offering here tonight will avoid that accident. And I thought, what a con man. What an artist. Nobody will fall for that. That proves who was smartest. Hundreds of people jumped up and ran to the altar carrying $20 bills to avoid that carnage and to purchase from God a gift of release from that vision. Well, it's done. There are people that operate that way. How many know, maybe you don't know that story, but how many know of a story kind of similar to it? Let's see your hands. All right, raise them up so the others know I'm not making these stories up. Good. All right. Now, I want to call your attention to the fact that we're going to talk about lead, and some scriptures about being led or leading. Then we have the second point will be the prophets. We're going to talk a lot about prophets tonight, and naturally, prophets hear from God, and they also are leaders. Then we're going to have a section here that will help us to understand when to follow the voice and when not. Make us gods, which shall go before us, is what they said. The subject was, in Exodus, when Aaron made a golden calf. Do you remember that? And they took their earrings and kind of stuff, and they said, make us gods which shall go before us. Now, what am I trying to get at? Gods which will go before us. Why? They didn't say make us gods. They said make gods which will what? Go before us. What does that mean? Lead us. Show us the way. The path so we can walk in it. Make a golden calf that will go before us because we want to be led. And we want the right leading, and we want a God to do it, so make a God. You follow what I'm doing on this, you see? And they thought that they could purchase a God that would go before them and lead them into that which is right. We'll be dealing some more tonight with Dema Shakarian and the Shakarian story, how his family was led out of Armenia by some Russian prophets back starting in 1830 and finally up into the 1880s. And over a period of time, they left a section of Ararat, Mount Ararat, between Turkey, Armenia, and Russia. There's a section where they all cross right up that mountain. And when they were led over to California by a prophecy, which we'll get into in great detail here in a minute, or before this is over. And everyone who followed the voice of the prophet and came to California and left that area of Armenia and Turkey, all of those people became individual millionaires, successful beyond our comprehension in the temporal realm. But those who elected to stay, to the man, every person died in the carnage which took place 65 years ago as the Muslims killed the Christians in Turkey, which is being reported in the newspapers a little bit now. So, if something bad was going to happen, such as a TMI, such as a bunch of communists taking over the government, killing the Christians, you know, all kinds of weird things. How many have given thought to some possibilities along these lines? There are a lot of Christians right now who are upset that it does appear as though the government, our federal government, is almost persecuting the 700 Club and the PTL Club and that kind of stuff, and they're creating one of those pick things until they can just can't get anything to persecute then prosecute, and finally, I guess, incarcerate the whole gang because they're just after them. And most of us know that if a policeman was after any of us, just following us home, you know, in his car, finally we'd get so nervous we'd do something wrong, and then they'd have us in jail, right? If that was their purpose. And so there are a lot of people, Christians right now, who believe that the government has changed a lot and is out to get, for lack of a better term, our kind of people. Is that all right? And so there are lots of reasons to want to know when it's time to get out or to remove yourself from the control of some society or some TMI in this case, that's, you know, a horrible situation. Who knows what? So if God would give us a prophet like he did then to those Armenians and Russians, that would be helpful to us too. So we're going to find out how he does that. And first, let's talk about the leading of the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, verse 4, we find, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Somebody praise the Lord for that. As many as are led by the what? Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. Now the word sons is huios. The huios of God, the manifest sons. There are four words for son. Paideon, pais, technon, huios. The paideon is an infant. Pais, a child. Technon, teenager. But the manifest, grown up, full grown sons of God are led by the Spirit. But prior to being led by the Spirit, we are led by the law. We need the law because it's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now, the word Christ means the anointed. You knew that, didn't you? The word Christ, some people use Christ and Jesus synonymously, which is probably a mistake. Jesus means Savior. Christ means anointed. And when I say Jesus Christ, I'm saying the anointed Savior. This is my anointed Savior. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're all the way grown up. Now, if you were always led by the Spirit of God, would you always make perfect decisions? Say yes. Yes. All right. Is there anyone here who always makes perfect decisions? Let's see. There's one. Now, the reason you're in trouble is that you're deciding on the basis of what you can see, hear, smell, taste, and feel. Come on. And the decisions you make are in the soul realm. Tell the truth. Turn to the one next to you and say, you're soulish. Now, here's the reason. When we were in the garden, we were perfect, right? We were spirit, soul, and body. Hold your three fingers across your chest like this. Grab the top one and say, spirit. The middle one?
Soul.
The bottom?
Body.
All right. The spirit talked to God in the cool evening. God is a?
Spirit.
You talked with him in?
Spirit.
And in?
Spirit.
All right. Now, the spirit then sent the signals to the soul mind. The mind then sent the signals to the nervous system. And you walked. And you talked. And you did all the things in the physical realm. You see that? You were perfect. Look at yourself. Isn't that nice? Then you got the double cross. Now give yourself the double cross. It's kind of hard, isn't it? I've been practicing. Now, what is a wee small voice way down in the middle? Say it. What does the Bible say is the hidden man of the heart, out of the innermost parts, bowels? Where is, that's the residing place of the Spirit. Now, what is leading?
Soul.
And you ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And your knowledge became preeminent, and you began to decide on, see, hear, smell, taste, and feel, instead of what God said, which is a wee small voice, way down in here. So he sent the Holy Ghost to get you straightened around. See? Now, look at the one next to you and say, I believe you can straighten around. And somebody else say, praise the Lord, God's in the God of another chance. All right. So we want to be led by the Spirit, but we don't want to be out from under the law. I'll let you think of that for a minute. Our goal is not to leave the law. Our goal is to be led of the Spirit. Was Peter's goal? The idea, did he have an idea that what he wanted to do was come down from that roof and go out and eat pizza with sausage up at Cornelius' house? Was that his goal? No, it's just what he was serving. And he was led of the Spirit to go up there, but if he'd have been led of the soul to go up there and do it, it'd have been sin. Come on now. The same act would have been sin if he'd have smelled the pizza. I'll wait for you on that. You know I'm playing with pizza, don't you? And sausage? Jimmy Dean whole hog sausage? And we're making fun of kosher and that kind of stuff. But the idea here is that the Spirit took him up there, and as long as he was there, well, we find out in Antioch, he did eat with the Gentiles until something came from James. Come on. That's all in Galatians there. So we know that he was eating the whole hog sausage and all that kind of stuff, because it says so. All right, well, it doesn't say it exactly when he went up to Caesarea Maritime, but it's at least implied, but it is firm in the other scriptures. Now, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Now, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the
law.
But you are under the law until you are led by the Spirit. Because no one here is smart enough to do right. Turn to the one next to you and say, you're not smart enough to do right. So, you need to be put under law until you're mature enough to be led of the
Spirit.
Spirit. And so our fathers and mothers put us under law until we grew up. Then we grew up and we left home. We got our own apartment. Then we weren't under anybody's law. And then you got married and you were back under law. You see, because just as soon as you have two people, you need laws. Come on now. Somebody better say amen. Now, as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the manifest, grown-up ones. And if you're led, you're not under the law. But you are under the law, conversely, when you're not being led. So when you're operating in the see, hear, smell, taste, and feel realm, you're still under the law. But when you operate from that sense that comes up from the heart, you know, with parts hidden out of the heart, then you are being led by the Spirit, and you're not under the law. When we teach some of these things, there have been some who've misunderstood and said, well, therefore, since I'm not under law, I can do anything I want. And it proves you're not grown up. Come on. Anyone who come up with that conclusion just proves they haven't matured. Now, I'm not finding fault with anybody who's made that conclusion, but I didn't teach that to you. Come on. I've never taught anybody that their goal is to come out from the law. I teach that your goal is to be led by the Spirit. And just because you have a desire and a want to doesn't mean it's right. And why is that? The Bible says we still have carnal minds, doesn't it? And Paul said in Romans 7, he had a carnal mind and said, you've got a carnal mind. Now, that didn't go over very good, so the one next to you has a carnal mind. I got that better. Turn the one next to you and say, oh, I didn't know. We have carnal minds. We looked up the word carny in the Greek, the Italian, French, and the word carny means meat. Chili con carne means beans with meat. Hot chili beans with meat. Carne means meat. And since we're carnal, we have carnal minds, the Bible calls us meatheads. Now turn to the one next to you and say, you're a... How many already knew that before they came here tonight? That's just using the Bible to confirm something you already suspected. We're a bunch of meatheads, but since we're meatheads, we need to be under the law until we can receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your meathead, mind, soul, intellectual, emotion, attitude, and change us as we continue to receive the Bible, the engrafted word, so eventually we'll not be meatheads, we'll have the mind of Christ. Then we can be led of the Spirit. And until then, we need the law. Okay, let's keep going. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And we studied that Greek word, and there's a little bit of argument about that Greek word, led. The truth of the matter is, you can translate it driven just as well. How many have noticed a lot of times the Holy Spirit drives you? And I bet you Peter thought he was being driven when he came down off that roof and went up to Caesarea. Driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. There it was tested, and we had that thing last week. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is a scripture that I want to call your attention to because it's one that we usually don't talk about. And so we'll hit this one. Paul is talking right now, and I'll be back in chapter 9 again during this lesson, Lord willing. I was going to say, the Lord willing, the creek will rise and TMI hold together. And Paul is saying, have we not power, speaking of himself, to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas. Cephas is Peter. And we find out from the scriptures that Peter's wife's mother was sick. You remember that? And there was a healing there. So Peter had a wife and traveled with her. And Paul says, I have power to take my wife with me There's a little bit of thing here that you might want to play with. The word sister and wife, the word sister is not sister from the same mother or father. It's sister in the sense of a Christian, my Christian sister. That is, a female Christian is a sister. You know that, brother. You've heard them talk like brother and sister. And the word wife is actually from the word woman, not necessarily wife. But I believe the translators probably within the context of what Paul was talking, at least here, was talking about a legal wife. But he's talking about the fact, start with verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? And then he goes on about to travel with a woman. Or then he goes, in verse 6 he talks about to forbear working. We have that power to forbear working. But over in verse 13 he says we didn't do it.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.